I'm Bill Mancaro with PaperSource, and I'm very, very pleased today on our podcast to welcome Jeff Armstrong. I've known Jeff for many years. Jeff has been in the note business full-time since October of 1993, and he founded his business in Armstrong Capital in May of 1991. He has brokered out. Jeff, I don't know if I'm up to date on the latest numbers here, but as far as the last I heard, you've closed over 2,000 note transactions.
Yeah, we're over 2,100 now. We passed
wow.
that at the end of the year. So yes,
wow.
Correct.
Jeff is nationally known. He's got expertise in, of course, all areas of note business, being in that long and closing that many notes. But he is probably best known as the person who knows the most about building your note business, marketing for notes, finding notes. He's written several books on that subject. He has courses on that subject. His website, by the way, is armstrongcapital.com, and we'll be talking about that in a few minutes. But again, Jeff, I want to welcome you to a PaperSource podcast.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here for you.
Great, great. Okay, I told you I would ask you a tough question.
All right.
What is the one best way to find notes?
Okay, that's the number one question, and you are correct, the toughest question. The number one way is the way that works for you. I've been doing this for, it'll be 26 years in May. I have tested and retested all sorts of things that work for me. And my number one way, my statistics still tell me to this day, 2017, my number one way is still direct mail. We purchase a list of note holders from seller carry back list companies. There's only a couple of good ones. And we send out a lot of direct mail in a very specific way. And last year, of the transactions I closed last year, I mean, updated statistics here, over, I think it was like 57% of the transactions I closed for Armstrong Capital came still from direct mail. That doesn't mean we don't use other ways, and there are a lot of other ways that people are using and that work for them, but my number one is still direct mail. And then some of you guys might think, well, is that all he does? And the answer is absolutely not. If only half of my deals, 57% of my deals came from direct mail last year, where do the other ones come from? For myself, to just answer the question, the short answer is direct mail. But there's much, much more to talk about that and tell you how I do my direct mail. But on top of direct mail, if that's my number one, my number two are referral sources. Who do you know or who can you think of that comes into contact with people that are receiving payments on a performing note? Well, your real estate agents, your title companies, your mortgage companies, your real estate brokers. But even further from that, I've been getting a lot of notes referred to me in the last few years from estate planners and from bankruptcy attorneys and people like that. So that is my number two marketing method for getting notes to come across my desk. And then following up on that, I still do run a few classified ads here and there in specific little papers and stuff. I am not an internet guru. I do not know the internet or computers all that well. I just do what I teach myself how to do. And I know there's lots of people that can tell you how to do it probably better than I can. But I do use some internet marketing as far as banner ads and placements like that. I am a novice in that. I'm still testing that out for myself, so I'm not touting any, if you do it this way, it'll work. I'm just saying I do use some internet marketing as well. So that's probably my top four or five ways that work for me. My number one way is still the direct mail. Sorry for the long answer.
That's no, very informative. It occurred to me, and this is not an original idea with me, but it just occurred to me that some time ago that we don't get much mail anymore. I mean, the mail we get uh-huh. are You know, it's you don't get a whole lot of mail anymore compared to 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
True.
You know, there people just email or text, and certainly don't write letters, but you just don't get any much personal mail. Hardly any personal mail at all.
Right.
That would seem to me, and I'd like to, from your experience, compared to a few years ago, that would seem to me to be a good thing for direct mail, to increase your open rates, for example. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think you're right on. I think a deeper answer would be that you need to think about the mind of the note holder. Who are these note holders that we're going after? From my statistics, my statistics over 26 years tell me that the note holders that we have purchased and brokered notes from in the last 26 years, the majority of them, over 70% of them, are over the age of 55. A lot of these, and I'm 51 now, and I hate even saying this, but a lot of these note holders that we're dealing with want you to talk to them on the phone. They want to see something in writing from you. They don't have an email address. I can't tell you how many transactions where we still work with sellers that don't have an email address. It blows my mind. We want everyone to have an email address so we don't have to talk to them, but that's not the case either. And with that, if we're thinking in that mentality, the mind of the note holder and who those note holders are, there are people that are in their late 50s, in their 60s and 70s, who have owned a property for years and years and years, sold their only asset, and are now carrying in the note that's their only asset. These people love mail. These people are going to open the mail. Those of them that have internet access and did get themselves on a computer and use a computer and have an email address, they will go on my website and fill out my form on my website before I talk to them sometimes. They don't always just call me. So they do use the internet in that sense. But because of what you said, Bill, that there isn't a whole lot of regular mail anymore, that could be a reason as to why direct mail still works. But also thinking about the mind of the note holder and who these note holders are that are receiving these letters from me, they like to get mail still. They're used to getting mail. So I think that's kind of part of it as well.
What to build on that, you're sending out letters. Do you have a geographical area in which you operate, or do you do this on a national basis looking for notes?
Well, if I could show you the map right now to the right of me with all my pins in it of where I've closed all 2,000-plus deals, there are some states that we've closed many, many more transactions than other states. There's not bad states. There are just some states we close more transactions in. I'll say it. Texas, Florida, Arizona, Nevada, Tornado Alley. Yes, there are some states that we have closed more transactions in, so we make sure we continue to market to those areas. There aren't any really bad areas. There's just areas that don't have as many notes or as many sellers that are willing to discount their notes or that need the cash. A lot of people think California is a big state for notes, and I was talking to a new broker earlier today and trying to explain, hey, in 26 years, maybe I closed a deal a year in California, if that. That has not been the majority of my business. So I really think that specific regions don't matter. It's just a numbers game. You have to get as many numbers out there as you can, as much as you can afford if you're doing direct mail, to send out, you know, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 letters a month. And if the states that you've chosen to send your mail to only have a couple hundred a month, you got to add on some more. You need more numbers. So you got to add on some more states and send out some more letters and follow-up postcards and stuff. To answer your question in short, there are some regions and states, you know, not really regions, but states specifically, that more notes are purchased in, for sure.
Okay. And I think, too, is it important to stress that if you're going to do direct mail, don't think that you're going to send out, you know, 30 or 40 pieces of mail and get response. Could you speak to that, please?
Oh yeah, I can speak to that big time. In 1991, I mailed out my first 500 letters was my first mailing ever in 1991, and I got like 40 responses. You know, like almost 10%, 8%. That doesn't happen anymore, guys. That does not happen anymore. It is when you do direct mail as a marketing strategy, it is, number one, expensive. It is a strategy that you have to do for, I'm going to say, at least 12 months to get your name going and get some steady calls coming across your desk. It's not something where you can just send out, 100 letters and get 5 or 10 calls. It's not. Could it happen? Maybe. Is it going to happen? Most likely not. It's simple. It's just not that easy anymore. It's not like that. It's one of those strategies that it's not a one-time mailing either. You know, you're not just sending out, 1,000 letters and then never sending those people anything again. I'll spill the beans a little. I always spill the beans anyway, but my direct mail consists of a letter within a month or two from the time they carried it back. So if they sold their property and carried back a note in January, they're going to get a letter from me either February or March in the states that I am mailing to. They're going to get a letter. I don't stop it there, though. After they get that letter and they haven't responded to me, 6 months after they get the letter, they're going to get a postcard. 12 months after I sent that letter, they're going to get a second postcard. And 18 months after I sent that letter, they're going to get a third and final postcard. So in 19 months, they're going to get a letter and 3 postcards from me. Why every 6 months? Because I've tested it, and that's what works for me. I test it out, send a letter, send a postcard every single month for 12 months. Send a letter, send it every 2 months, every 3 months. 6 months seems to be the most efficient, cost-effective way to follow up with these note holders with direct mail and still get responses. After the 18 months and I send them their third postcard, if I never heard from them, I purge them from the system and I don't send them any more direct mail. It's a grind. It's something that I've been doing for so long that after 16 years, I finally found someone to do it for me and that I pay to lick stuff, stamp, stickers, sign, and send them out for me. But it's something that I've been doing for so long that it still works. And until it stops working, I'm going to keep spending my money on postage and sending out the letters. But you are absolutely correct in that you can't just expect to send out 100 letters, get calls, and get a deal. It's just not feasible. It's just not realistic these days.
We're going to open up the phone lines for any questions that you might have for Jeff Armstrong, the note, probably considered the number one note marketing expert in the country. Just hit star and the number 6 on your phone if you want to get in line to ask to talk to Jeff. I will mention that Jeff is going to be speaking, teaching at the Paper Source Note Symposium, which is at the end of April in Las Vegas, Nevada. Our early bird special is going on right now, so you can get in on that. If you go to papersourceseminars.com, just all one word, papersourceseminars.com, you'll be able to see a video and see more about Jeff and more about the other teachers. We have over a dozen teachers that are going to be there, and we have a foreclosure auction, if you heard Kurt Demir's podcast a couple weeks ago, which is also available on our website, papersourceonline.com. Kurt will be leading a briefing at a foreclosure auction in Las Vegas. We have receptions. We have, of course, seminars, roundtables. We have luncheons, continental breakfasts, a trade show. We have an optional hike on Sunday to kind of get to know each other. So it's going to be a fabulous time. It always is. And this will be your opportunity to meet Jeff and have private consultations with Jeff and with the other teachers that are there at absolutely no cost to you. So that's all at papersourceseminars.com. Again, if you have a question or for Jeff about finding notes or about anything that he's regarding notes, he's been in the business for over 25 years. just hit star 6 on your phone. And Jeff, while we're doing that, I want to let me ask you this. Is this, because I keep getting this question, and I'm sure you do too, is now a good time to be buying notes and being a note broker?
It's better than it has been. Things are looking up. You know, we don't want to jinx anything here, but, you know, we had some really great years in the 90s and the 2000s, and then we had the crash in 06, and things started going down 08. From 08 to 011 or 12 was tough. And 2014, a little better. 2015 was fantastic. Last year, 2016, not as good as 15, but better than the 6 years before that. And this year so far, knock on wood, right now, personally, I have 12 notes under contract. And that's really good, you know, to have that many transactions in the pipeline. We're looking for another really good year this year. I think if you're doing, if you're closing 5 notes a month, some of us out there, you're doing really good as a broker. I know some brokers, we used to close, gosh, you know, in the heyday, Bill, I don't know if you remember, but, you know, closing 15 to 20 transactions in a month was not unheard of. But if we're doing, you know, 3 to 5 a month, we're jumping up and down today, and things are good. Things are good.
We have a question. Yeah, we have a question from Darlene, who is in the Sacramento area.
Hey.
Darlene, yes. Are you with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Hi. Hi, Jeff. I've sent you some deals before. Hi, Mr. Mentow. Jeff, my question is, I keep reading about the Dodd-Frank for note brokers. If I'm correct, can you elaborate on that? Do we need to be licensed? I'm just not understanding. Oh, no, the Dodd-Frank affects the seller. Is that correct? And it's hurting the business?
I can't say that. I have not seen Dodd-Frank hurt our business.
Okay,
Dodd-Frank,
what is all the talk about? Yes.
Well, Dodd-Frank, as you mentioned, is for the sellers of properties.
Okay.
And there are several regulations and rules they have to follow if they sell more than one property and carry back a note. However, with the new administration that just got sworn in January, we are hopeful that Dodd-Frank will be updated. I think that's a good word, updated, to take us out of it, to take seller financing out of the equation, out of the regulations, because it came about when the whole big mess with all the securitization and mortgage companies were defrauding people. And so they just lumped us note investors into the same bunch of people. And I'm trying to keep it short here, too, because we can go on and on about this. So what have we done since the Dodd-Frank was implemented? What have we done? Did it make us do anything different? The answer is a very small yes. At the closing of a transaction, we have the seller, and sometimes at the beginning, we have the seller sign a piece of paper that says, have you sold more than 5 properties in the past year? How many of those did you sell or finance? And I think there's a third question on there. And that's all we have to do. That's all we've done. That's all we're going to do. It has not affected our business.
Okay.
It hasn't affected my business. Maybe there's others out there that it has. But on our side of it, we haven't seen it affect our business one bit.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Darlene. You know, I just want to mention to Darlene and others who are interested in this the subject of Dodd-Frank and government regulation of the note business. It is a situation that we have to be aware of, as Jeff said, and we are going to go into that in quite a bit of depth. At the Note Symposium, Phil Dryden from Evergreen Note Servicing, and Art Davis, who's the general counsel of SaveSellerFinancing.org, mm-hmm. which is our lobbyist a lobby organization in Washington. He lives in the Washington, D.C. area. He's an attorney, and he's going to be they're both going to be giving us a briefing on Dodd-Frank and what to expect from the Trump administration, how to deal with Dodd-Frank.
Cool.
So I hope you'll be able to join us. Not far for you from Sacramento.
No, just an hour on the plane.
There you go. I think it'll be well worth it, darling. Hope to see you there.
Thank you. I'll try to make it.
Thanks for calling. Sure appreciate it. We've got Randy from northern Illinois, Chicago suburbs calling. And those of you, by the way, who want to get in on this conversation, just hit *6 on your phone, and you'll be able to talk to Jeff Armstrong about anything you want. Randy, are you there?
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you got it.
Oh, good, because last time I had trouble with my phone, so I'm glad it worked this time. How you doing, Jeff?
Randy, what's going on?
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today and also look forward to meeting with you at the conference. So I'm excited about this. It's going to be my first conference to attend. Just wondering, with what you're involved with, what would you say is the most difficult struggles that you've experienced as a note buyer? And, like, if you had a wish list, like, what would you like to see? What would be the ideal situations for you as a note buyer?
In what sense, Randy?
In terms of, like, when you're looking at what notes you're looking to purchase, for example, how do you determine what's going to be the, like you said, you send out this mailer. How do you know up front which ones are going to be the most return on your investment?
Okay, let me see if I can help you here. When I get a list of note holders, it tells me the name and the address and the amount of the mortgage, the note they carried back, and the maybe the address of the property that it's secured by. Maybe there are some people that do. I do not go through one by one 2,500 names every month and try to determine which notes are going to be good or not. I send it all out. Once they call or go online and fill out our website form, then we start to get an idea of what they have. Is every single note viable? The short answer is no. But on the other side of it, there is also a yes there as well, because depending upon how good or bad the note is, I probably have an investor that will give an offer on it. Will they like the offer? Maybe not. Example, we just had a note come across. It was a $59,000 note at 1% for 10 years. And I told the guy right up front, a 1% note for 10 years, and there were only a couple payments made on it, this note's going to be so discounted, I'm going to be embarrassed to tell you what the price is, but I'll tell you anyway. We offered the guy $22,000 for a $59,000 note. Not because it was bad. It's just the terms are terrible. Who has a 1% note? It's better than 0%, but it still turns out to be terrible terms. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not our fault. You know, it is a viable note. We can buy a note with a 1% interest rate, but is the seller desperate enough, or is their need great enough that they'll take the discount to get rid of it? For this guy, no, it wasn't. He gave me a few choice words and called me a shark and hung up on me. And then I'm going to let him cool down. I'm going to call him back next week and try to teach him about partials, but let's not get too crazy on the phone here. But so we don't know if it's a good or bad note until people call us and tell us all about it. You know, there's a story behind every note. Part of our job as a note broker and note buyer is to, as my buddy Dave Koenig says, to peel back the layers of the onion, to find out the story and find out what the heck are we really looking at here. You know, I had someone call me that was very short. A guy called me, I think it was last week or two weeks ago maybe, and he was very short with me. He's like, yeah, I have a $100,000 note. How much are you going to pay for it? I'm like, well, I need some more information than that. You know, what? How long does it go for? What's the interest rate? What kind of property is it on? What's the buyer's credit score? Do you know that? How long have they been paying on it? Da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, all the things that we need to know to make a good decision about how much we can pay for a note. He's like, you don't need that. It's a $100,000 note. It's on a house. I'm like, well, is it owner-occupied or is it a rental? You know, is it vacant? Is it being worked on? You know, what? Can you tell me something about it? He's like, no, that's all you need to know. It's a $100,000 note. How much can you pay? I'm like, well, dude, what are you asking me here? You know, that's like you right. saying, hey, I have a car for sale. You know, how much are you give me for my car? Well, I don't know. What kind of car is it? How many miles are on it? Are the tires bald? Is the engine running? You know, does it need a paint job? I mean, this is the discussion that we have to have with some of these note holders. And some of them just don't want to play ball. They don't want to give the information out. And that's part of our job. So if I had a wish list of what would make our jobs easier, the only thing that I can think of right now is that note holders would have a little better understanding of what we do, because they don't. I mean, to this day, 26 years later, it's 2017, I've been doing this forever, I still get people that are like, I didn't even know I could sell my note. Why is there a discount? And if you can't explain those questions and give them the answers that they want to hear and satisfy them, we're not going to get the transaction. We're not going to be able to buy or broker their note. I really don't have a wish list of anything else. I mean, things are clicking. We have people in place to help us with everything that we need, way more than we had way back when I started in 1991. Servicers and title companies and some of our institutional investors are just outstanding with helping brokers get transactions closed, because nobody makes money if we don't close on a deal. You know, I'll be at the Paper Source Symposium at the end of April, and it's really the only one I go to all year long, because everybody that's involved in our niche, in the performing first position seller finance note niche, is going to be there. All the players are going to be there. The institutional, some of the institutional investors, the larger brokers, the servicers, and some of the title company people that we work with. You know, the whole team of people that we work with. They might not work for us per se, but we work with them every day. You know, the processors and everything like that. And it's really the only place where all of the players in our little niche get together. Yes, there'll be other people there, which is great to learn about, you know, some non-performing seconds, fix and flips, and things like that. All great information, all good stuff to know. But as far as just our first position seller finance performing note niche, that's where all of the players are every year. Mm-hmm. And so if you go, or if you don't go and you get the audios later on or something, the business, as far as a wish list, God, you know, I'd really have to really think some more on that. I don't have a wish. I wish I could, you know, close more deals. I wish I could do more deals. But, you know, my philosophy has always been, from day one, since 1991 when I started this business, my end goal every year is to do what I want to do when I want to do it and have the money to do it with. And that's what this business has afforded me to do for 26 years, and I'm looking to do it for at least 26 more. This is the kind of business we're talking about here. That is the real note business. You know, for me, myself, that's what it's done for me and my family. I don't know of any other business that I could, I was just telling Bill when I got on the phone, that I could go to Costa Rica for 2 weeks and no one knows. That I can go to Italy and Greece last year for a month and no one knew I was gone. I can do this business anywhere. With my laptop right. and my cell phone these days, nobody knows you're gone. I can do this from anywhere. Can I buy notes in Greece and Italy? No. Can I buy notes in Costa Rica? Well, we talked to some people about that. Maybe there's something down there, but not yet. But I can at least still do my business and not miss a beat when I go out on vacation and stuff. Sorry for the long answer again. As far as a wish list, gosh, I just wish I can do this until I can't anymore. You know, that's about it. Thanks, Randy.
Yes.
Hope to see you there.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Am I able to call in again for some other questions?
Well, possibly, Randy. We take people who haven't asked a question first, but if you think of another question, call in, and we'll certainly try to get you in.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks so much. Appreciate it. By the way, Jeff mentioned the Paper Source Symposium, and I should have mentioned there is an early bird special available for you. You can save $50. So you'll get in for $299 instead of $349 on the website if you enter the coupon code Armstrong when you call in. Armstrong. What's that?
I got a coupon code. That's kind of neat.
We have a coupon code, Armstrong, which, in fact, while Randy there was asking a question, you were answering it, I created it. So it'll be $2.99 for anyone who enters the code Armstrong, and you'll save $50 from that. We have a person calling from the Seattle area. Are you with us? Hello? Seattle, are you with us? Okay, well, call back then. I don't know what happened there, but we missed Seattle. Let's try Chicago. Come on now, Chicago. No?
Hello?
Yeah, well, I don't know what happened. Maybe people have to wait in line. And hit *6 on your phone, folks, if you want to talk to Jeff Armstrong. Just hit *6 and... our last two callers possibly hung up or they had some problems. So right now we have open lines, and the person from Chicago is calling back. And let's.
Hi, this is Steve. I'm calling from Seattle, and my question is, can you give advice to an investor, a real estate investor, who is interested in buying only a few notes as opposed to being a broker for notes?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Hey, Steve, how's it going? You know what? It's funny. I've been getting that question quite a bit in the last year or so. A lot of people are getting the knowledge of how to have their own self-directed IRA and buy notes with it or invest with it. And I've been getting this question a lot. And I wish I could tell you, maybe that's my wish, we're going back to the other question, but I wish I could tell you that, hey, you want to buy a note? Well, here's one for you. Buy it right now. You can't go online and buy a seller finance note tomorrow. It's just not the way the business is set up. I do work, and what I've done since the crash, one of the things I was almost forced to do was I created and started gathering a list of myself, my own list of private investors like yourself, of individuals. And I'm just one guy, one broker, one person doing the marketing. I have some advantages. Because I do all the marketing, I get to cherry pick. So I pick some of the best and safest notes for myself, and I put those in my own self-directed IRA. But after that, when I broker them out to other investors such as yourself, I don't have that many to give to private investors. You know, if you get one every year or every couple of years from me, you'll be jumping up and down. I know there are some websites out there that tout that, hey, you know, buy a note from us, you know, buy trust deeds here, buy a note. And if you actually look at what they're selling, a lot of times they are what we call re-performing notes that were defaulted or delinquent, either from a bank or a mortgage company, and then they got them back on track or modified it, and now they're performing again. Or they are looking for investors to fund an origination, to fund a loan, to give a loan. And either of those are not buying seller finance notes at a discount. To keep it short and try to answer your question, I do not know of a way right now that you can go out and buy a seller finance note in the next month or two. You know, other than, you know, getting on my list, and when a note comes across my desk that fits your criteria and the seller accepts the pricing, then I get a hold of you. I wish there was a way. I really do, because then I wouldn't market. I'd just buy notes every day from whoever has them for sale, right?
Right.
But they're not. It's not a product like that. So I'm sure there's some people out there that can give you some better advice than I can on that. But it's just, there is no way that I know of to just, hey, I want to buy a couple notes, and then you just go buy them, you know?
Right. Right.
I have some investors on my list that have, you know, a couple million dollars in their self-directed IRAs, and I can't satisfy them. They have to go out and buy and do some other investments because I can't find enough notes for them.
Right.
And that's just the business, you know. This little tiny niche of performing first position seller finance notes is really small. It's a small little niche. Are they great investments? Yes, that's why you want to buy some of them. But there's just not a ton of them out there to, you know, to choose from on a regular basis. Does that help a little?
Yes, thank you very much. Yep.
Okay, I hope I didn't disappoint you too much. You know, maybe we could find you some if you want to email me, or, you know, go to my website and email me, but we'll get you on our list and see if we can find something for you up there in the Washington State or something. Okay?
Great. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, and I actually emailed Jeff, and I'll ask him for his information. And you might email me. I know a few people that do some of the same things that Jeff does, and I might be able to help you as well. So my email address is wjm@papersourceonline.com, or just go to papersourceonline.com and hit the contact button. And glad to help you out there. And Jeff, you want to give your contact information, please?
Yeah, it's actually, I just created a new email address this year, having some issues with my email server. So it's brand new. It's armstrongbuysnotes@gmail.com. Armstrongbuysnotes@gmail.com is where you can email me at.
Great.
Well, thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
If you have a question for Jeff Armstrong, please hit *6 on your phone. We do have an open line right now, and we're kind of getting toward the end here. So if you did have a question, and Randy, you mentioned you might have another question, feel free to call in at this point. Jeff, I want to ask you, what percentage, can you give us some numbers on what percentages of the notes that you or the people that you that contact you, or that you contact them, actually result in a transaction?
Yeah, I keep all kinds of statistics, so that's pretty simple for me. Now, keep in mind, I've been doing this for 26 years, and I've gotten better at negotiating and closing transactions. But even for me, last year my average was I had one transaction close for every 37 worksheets that came across my desk from note sellers directly. So I had to talk to 37 note holders, negotiate with 37 note holders, and we started, you know, we might have started two or three, and then only one would close. Some would not close because of really poor credit, some would not close because of low appraisals, some would not close because of title issues and clouds. But that was my average last year, was 1 out of 37. It's better than the previous year, which was 1 out of 40, but 1 out of 37. So that just gives you an idea of the numbers game that we're talking about here. You know, you got to get people to call. You got to fill out their worksheets. You got to find out the story and peel back the layers of the onion. And you got to negotiate the acceptance. And then for me last year, 1 out of 37 calls turned into a closed transaction.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. I know you keep great statistics. And by the way, as an aside, Randy, I saw you called in, and all of a sudden it was dropped. So if you want to try to call in again, we can take your call at this point. There he is. Are you with us, Randy? Okay, not with us again. Let's try that again. Randy, I remember from our last podcast you had some problems with your phone, so let's give it another shot. Randy, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
There we go. Boy.
Good. Okay. Good. I'm sorry because I'm using a computer phone, and I apologize if it's not working that great. Yeah, Jeff, just wondering, how do you end up evaluating the collateral that you're making a decision on? Do you do anything about that? Because you're nationwide, so I was curious, you know, what are you doing to confirm the condition of the properties that you're thinking of taking over?
Right. Well, that's a great question. What we do and what most note buyers do is we order a drive-by appraisal. They don't go in the properties. They just drive by, take a picture, keep on driving, and send us some comparables of the property and give us their comments. At times, we also order what's called a BPO, a broker price opinion. We can get a broker price opinion sometimes in 3 to 5 days for $100, and it's just as good as an appraisal. However, with a broker's price opinion, we can call them up and ask them more questions. Say, hey, why do you think this and is in bad shape? And, you know, they're going to write this stuff down anyway. But that's kind of how we find out about the collateral itself, is when they accept a transaction, you know, a price from us, and we have them under contract to do our due diligence. The first thing we do is order a drive-by appraisal or a BPO to find out the condition and true market value of that property.
Okay, thank you very much, Jeff.
Sure.
Thanks for calling, Randy. We have a caller from the Scottsdale area, Scottsdale, Arizona. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Scottsdale, are you there? Go ahead. Hello?
Hi, Jeff. This is Imran calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good, good. Thank you. How are you?
Good.
Okay. Question. Do you have a price range of the properties that you would buy a note on? First, that's the first question. The second question is, when you buy notes, what type, are you looking at a minimum yield? Because yield will vary depending on the quality of the note. What is your decision criteria?
Okay. Well, let's see here. First, I'll tell you some statistics. Price range of the collateral, value of the collateral. How large of a note can you buy is kind of the question. In all my years, and this is from my statistics, the average balance of the notes that we have purchased and or brokered is under $50,000. I think it's like $47,822 or something like that. It's under $50,000. Our bread and butter are notes in that, you know, $20,000 to $100,000 range. That's where our bread and butter is. So the average balance of the notes that we purchased and brokered over all these 26 years, over all 2,100 almost notes we've closed, is only $50,000. Okay, so they don't have to be these extra large properties to make money on. Have we done notes? I can tell you honestly, in 26 years, we have closed 5 notes over $1 million. That's it. Some people think that they can't make enough money on notes under $50,000, so they don't go after notes under $50,000. And I think that's a big mistake because there are lots of notes out there that you can put in $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 and make a good return on your money for the long term. So we're not afraid of any size note. I can tell you I've never done a note over $3 million. I can tell you that. Are there buyers for them? Sure, but you know, you honestly have to think to yourself when you're talking about the size of notes is the larger a property is and the larger a note is, the more financially astute the note holder is. You know, not to say that note holders with a $50,000 note aren't as intelligent, but there's a big difference between a $50,000 note and a $1 million note. You know, a 10% discount on a $50,000 note is only $5,000. A 10% discount on a $1 million note is $100,000. That's a big difference. They're going to see that more. That's going to affect their lives more. And people with those larger notes are not as susceptible, are not as needy or in need to sell and lose that kind of money. They're just not going to do it most of the time unless they have a true, deep need. So if you're going after notes, you know, think under $100,000 range. You know, go after all of them, you know, because you'll hit a home run and you'll get a $1 million note once in a while or a $300,000 note once in a while. But don't be afraid and don't back off from those smaller notes. I mean, you can make a good $5,000 commission on a $50,000 note sometimes. So that's the answer as far as price range. Okay. Does that answer your question for the price range?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, as for yields, that is every individual investor's own risk tolerances. That's every individual. They can pick whatever yield they want. Some institutional investors I know of will go all the way down to 9% on a return for them, on a minimum yield right now, on a AAA note, mind you. Okay, on a 9%. Most of the note investors, my privates that I broker notes to, my private investors, they get between a 12 and a 14 or a 16 yield. You know, somewhere in that 12 to 16 range is what they get. And that's great because, you know, in the bank you get what? You know, 0.5%, 0.75% or something. A CD might get you 1.5%. But on a note, to get 12 to 16% on a return is great. You know, they're jumping up and down for 12 to 16%. Personally, if you're asking me, hey, Jeff, what's your minimum yield? I personally will not buy a note unless I'm getting at least an 18% return on my money. That's just my own personal criteria.
Mm-hmm.
You will probably never broker a note to me. You might broker a note through me to my investors, but not to me myself. Almost all of the notes that I purchase for myself, I am direct with the seller, negotiating and getting them to accept that discount so that I can buy their note at my personal required yield. But you know, that's just it. We're very grateful. We're a very lucky industry. We are not regulated. No one's telling us how much we have to buy notes for. No one's telling us we have to buy a note at a 20% discount and we can only get a 10% return on our money. You know, no one's telling us that, and we're very lucky in that sense, that we're free to choose how much we want to pay for a note and what our yield and our return is going to be. Does that help?
Yeah. But this 18% yield that you are getting, are those on AAA type loan, or are you taking a higher risk?
No, you know what? When I buy a note, like, I mean, honestly, last year I only purchased 3 notes, okay? I'm not out there buying 5 notes a month. I'm brokering 90% of the stuff coming across my desk still. Hmm. And I cherry pick. When I get to get an 18% yield, this is a problem child. This is a note that the institutional investors aren't using common sense. They're just looking at the numbers, you know. For example, I bought a note just at the end of last year. I bought 18 payments on a note. The payments were somewhere in the $2,300 a month range, okay?
Mm-hmm.
18 payments. So the next 18 payments of $2,300 is going to come to me. I got the first one at the beginning of February. We closed it right before the end of the year. And I paid $17,000 for the right to receive 18 payments.
Oh, wow.
Now, my yield on that is way above 18%.
Yeah. Okay.
This guy needed money. This is on an industrial lot somewhere in BF, Texas. the lot appraised for $300,000. So I thought, okay, I can give you $17,000 and take that little bit of a risk. And if you default on me, I get a $300,000 property. I'll jump in on that. No other investor would do it, you know, that I knew of. And so on that particular note, you know, knock on wood, we want the guy to pay 18 payments, and then I give it back to the note holder again, and he can collect payments again. But he really needed money, and nobody else would help him. So I said, okay, you know what? I'll help you. And he was extremely happy. It was a win-win-win. You know, I'm going to get a good yield. He got the money he needed for his sick wife, and the person making the payments, well, he's happy. Nothing changed. He just has to send it to a different P.O. box. So those are the cases where I can get an 18 or higher yield.
So a single-family house on an industrial lot? Did I hear that right?
On what kind of property?
It was a single-family house on an industrial lot.
Well, it could be. It just, you know, it's very, this industry is very situational on what you can get and what you can pay for a note. If you just go out there and say, hey, I want an 18 yield and I want nothing else, you're going to have a tough time, you know, trying to buy a note, because other investors will step in and buy it for, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14%. Mm-hmm. And you'll lose a lot of deals that way. So if you're just trying to buy them, you really want your yield to be down between somewhere maybe 10 to 14% so you can be a little bit competitive. Mm-hmm. I have the luxury of having lots of notes come across my desk, you know, from note holders directly and some from brokers, and I get to cherry pick. And for myself, I cherry pick very safe investments for myself. If they go bad, if they stop making payments to me, I will be just fine. You know, so you don't want to just stick a number in your head and then wait and wait and wait until you get an 18% yield. If you really want to go out there and try to buy some notes for yourself, be realistic. If you want to be competitive, you got to be down in the 10 to 14% range. Otherwise, you'll have a hard time trying to buy notes, you know?
Okay.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate your call tonight, and hope you to see you at the Note Symposium at the end of April.
Yes, I'll be there.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Jeff, you mentioned a couple of things that I was thinking about at the time. I heard somebody say once that just because I buy a note at a great discount doesn't make the people pay better.
Correct.
Yeah, correct. Exactly.
Correct. So then we use great people that are going to be at the Note Symposium. We use great people like Sheila White and Melissa Bowling and Evergreen Services to help us get those payments coming in.
That's exactly right. All those servicing companies, Tom Standen and Note Servicing,
yeah.
And all those great folks really are on the side of the note holder, and that's
yep.
a very good point. Could you speak before we take another call? There may be some people listening that hear these high yields, whether they're listening now or listening on the recording, the podcast later. Wow, you know, he's talking about 12%, 14%. Isn't that ripping off the people who are paying on the notes? I mean, isn't that usury?
Okay. Well, if you really want to get into that,
explain how that works, and that the payments don't change for the payer is my point.
Right. Okay. Yes. So when we buy an existing seller finance note at a discount and our yield turns out to be 12, 14, 18, 54%, whatever it's going to be, it is not usury for a couple of reasons. Number one, we are not giving a loan. We are not saying, oh, you need a loan? Here's the money. Pay me back, right? We're not giving a loan and them paying us back. We are purchasing an existing individually held seller finance note at a discount. The big reason why it's not usury is there's something called a holder in due course, DUE, a holder in due course. When we buy an existing note from an individual that sold a property and carried back the note to facilitate the sale of that same property, In essence, when we buy the note, we become that seller of the property. We are a note holder in due course. We are just like, in the eyes of the law, we are just like the person that sold the property. It is not usury. The interest rate for the payor, the person that they carried the note back for, the interest rate, the terms, the payment amount are all the same. Nothing changes for the person making the payments except the address to where they are sending the payment to. So okay. Hopefully, in short, that answers the usury question.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was the point I was hoping you would make. Exactly
cool.
Right. Another that I was thinking of when you were answering the previous question, you're talking about 18% and 15% and all. Remember, folks, Jeff has to work through, 37 worksheets?
Right. Talking about the notes that I buy, notes I buy, I probably have to look through a couple hundred worksheets before I buy a note at that yield.
Okay.
1 through 37 is just the average brokered note.
Okay.
You know, to an investor for a 10 to 14% yield.
So there is work involved. And so if you have money and you just want to throw it out and say, well, I want to buy, you know, notes at 18%, remember what Jeff said. That's not going to happen. Unless you want to work hard like Jeff works.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I have a good life and the known business has given it to me, but there are lots of days, especially on Mondays, where, you know, I can tell you this, we're all friends here. I'm sitting in my pajamas on my couch, on my laptop and on the phone for 12 hours straight. You know, Mondays are really busy days, not every Monday, but there is still work involved, you know, and going on vacation to Costa Rica and you know, emailing back and calling back the pertinent people that need to be taken care of right away. I had a lot of catch up this time, and that's paying the price. But I would rather do that for myself than doing it for someone else and be an employee. But yeah, there is absolutely work and effort put in on a regular basis.
Darlene is calling back. Darlene, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. One quick question, Jeff. Is there a certain financial calculator that you would recommend to novice note brokers like myself?
Yes.
Okay, good.
It's very easy to learn, especially if I teach you. But it's the HP 10B2 calculator.
HP
10B2.
10B2.
B as in boy, 2. HP 10B2. And there's an app, an app for that. If you have an iPhone or an Android, there's an app for that. I think it's $6, $5.99. And it's the best $6 you'll ever spend.
Okay.
You can find them on Amazon. I think they're $30, you know, for the real calculator. But getting the app is just the same. And there's 5 buttons that we use on it. It's very simple. And that is the preferred calculator for the note business. After you've been doing it for a while, we also recommend as a backup to that a software called T-Value that's an amortization software that does some pretty amazing things as well. And the HP 10B2 calculator calculates down to the penny the same exact numbers as it does on the software. So the HP 10B2 calculator is your best option for this business.
Oh, great. I'm glad I asked. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Darlene. Jeff, you have do you not have a home study course on calculators, among many other things?
Yes, I have a home study course. I have a calculator book I think there's over 60 examples on how to calculate different things, starting out with the very basic, calculating out how to solve payment amount and verify the payment amount, and all the way up to some really complicated purchase transactions too. So, yeah, it's called Calculator Secrets, and it explains in depth how to walk through and learn and calculate things on the HP 10B2 calculator.
Okay, and how do people get that?
On the website, armstrongcapital.com, and it's click on AC products, and you'll find it right in there.
Okay, armstrongcapital.com. There's a number of other great products. You know, you've listened to Jeff enough. If you haven't heard him before, you certainly know by now. He's a straightforward guy, very honest fella. I certainly have a lot of confidence in Jeff, as I've known him for a number of years, and he has very reasonably priced home study courses and books. He's not somebody that's going to, you know, charge you an arm and a leg for things that you later wonder, well, why did I do that? So go to armstrongcapital.com, and Jeff will be teaching, as I said, at the PaperSource Notes Symposium at the end of April in Las Vegas, and we certainly hope you'll join us there. It's going to be a tremendous event. The sign-ups have been flowing in. We're going to have great networking, and we're going to have a lot of fun. And Jeff is not only teaching, but he'll be available to sit down and talk with you privately and at no charge. If you go to papersourceseminars.com and put in, when you register, put in the coupon code Armstrong, A-R-M-S-T-R-O-N-G, Armstrong, and you'll get you'll be able to register for just $299. So, Jeff, we're sure looking forward to seeing you at the end of April. It's been a while, man.
Yeah, it's been a while. We'll have a couple of drinks and catch up, and yeah, we're looking forward to it too.
All right. Thanks so much. We appreciate you joining us. Appreciate everybody who's on the call today. We'll have another podcast in another week or so, and we will send you an email about that. This will also be has been recorded and will also be available for download on our website, and we'll send out a link for that as well from the PaperSource. Again, thanks so much for joining us, and thank you, Jeff. It's been a tremendous honor to have you with us.
Thank you, Bill. We'll talk to you soon, and we'll hope to see you guys all in Vegas in a couple months.
Great.
All right.
Twitter,
there you go. It's finally getting out there.
Got to end it with Twitter, man.
Yeah, baby. Twitter.
All right.
All right, bud. We'll see you soon. Take care. Bye, guys.